Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax Living.
Hello, I'm Glynis Crook. I've always thought of the Cape Flats environment as a rather barren and sandy place where it's very difficult to grow anything. So I was pleasantly surprised to read an article describing how the area is in actual fact a botanical hotspot, home to the now critically endangered Cape Flats sand fynbos, and that efforts are underway to revive it. But to find out more, I'm joined now by freelance botanist and fynbos specialist Rupert Koopman. Welcome to the program, Rupert. Tell us about the fauna and flora of the Cape Flats and how different is it from other fynbos in the Cape?
Hi, Glynis. So it's very interesting how recent the Cape Flats is as a plant place. So, and when we talk recent, we're obviously talking more geological time. And the Cape Flats itself is essentially windblown sand that's come in from the ocean about 100,000 years ago and more recently. And then to cover the lower rocks, which is Malmesbury Shale. What you've got to remember about our Cape Town landscape is the top of Table Mountain and the top of the Helderberg Hottentots Holland. That's the original surface which gets eroded away. And then the Cape Flats fills that gap, essentially. So it's a very delicate layer of sand, which then gets colonized by fynbos plants. And because the conditions are so different to the mountains, that assemblage is a unique one, which we then do our best to eradicate.
And we've done quite a good job at eradicating it, from what I understand, because the fynbos there is critically endangered.
That's right. So you've actually got two main groups of fynbos vegetation types which cover that area. On the more alkaline soils, you have Cape Flats Dune Strandveld, which is endangered because it's got a bit more coverage to the north of the city, and then Cape Flats Sand Fynbos, which is critically endangered on the more acid soils. And essentially, most of that loss has happened since 1950. So if you read all the kind of early accounts of the colony, they talk about the sandy, barren wasteland in between Cape Town and Stellenbosch, the Borland. And in order to stabilize that, which we initially destabilized by overgrazing and collecting of wood for firewood and other things, you need to bring in something to stabilize it. And that's when we bring in the Australian acacias, which remain an issue to this day in the country. And that stabilizes, but also then covers a lot of the vegetation. And as a result, not a lot of people go there. If I look at, I've got a map of threatened species collections from like prehistory, but from early until now, the amount of dots on the peninsula in the Borland compared to in the Cape Flats, there are very few collections relatively done in the Cape Flats because nobody tended to go there. And by the time people started going there, a lot of it was gone.
I believe, in fact, that it's the highest concentration of endangered plants in the world now. And I was also reading that some of the suburbs, many of them like Lotus River, for example, were actually named after the Cape water lily, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's always for someone like me of botanical interest, it's funny to drive through the various suburbs and see the names of plants that used to be there. In one way, it's homage, and the other way, it's a little bit perverse that, you know, we don't have these things. So you might live in Vierkoppie Road, which is Phylica plumosa, but the closest one is a kilometer away. But the thing is, in spite of all the devastation that happened historically, we still keep on finding little patches that have remained. But the thing is, people don't think of the Cape Flats as a biodiversity hotspot. So they're not clued in on what to look for and how to take care of it. And we still today have like accidental clearance of critically endangered fragments that remain, whether it's by officials or by developers, because they just haven't been mapped.
You were speaking about developers, and I believe that the urban sprawl is one of the reasons why the fynbos has disappeared. So what needs to be done to save it now?
Look, we need to look after the bits that are left. The City of Cape Town Nature Conservation guys are doing a fantastic job of that. And then there are all sorts of civil society bodies in various neighborhoods who are starting to take an interest and look after their patches. And we just need to continue with that work.
I believe the community is getting involved, and there have been some surprises where the things that people had thought were had disappeared forever had actually been rediscovered. So there is some good news out there. Thanks to Rupert Koopmans, a specialist on Fynbos. And that's it for this week from me, Glynis Crook. Take care and goodbye.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of RE/MAX Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, RE/MAX Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email Galinda at remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, RE/MAX Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. RE/MAX, the leaders in real estate. Yeah.